Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Well, happy holidays, happy winter. No Curtis today. He will be back in the new year. And the Ken and Curtis Show continues without him. And that is with Rob Bradford to my left. Hello, Bradfo.
Hi.
And to my right now, we are joined by Gordo, Boston Sports Gordo.
Did you hear the compliment that Ken gave you earlier in the show?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, what did he say?
This is coming from the brand manager.
Well, yeah. I mean, Gordo's done a great job. I didn't know who Gordo was a year ago. Still don't really know him well. We don't, like, cross paths that much, just kind of passing in the night over at Fenway or whatnot. But just from afar, sixth man of the year, whatever it would be, like a rising star award, probably should go to Gordo in the EEI family.
Wow, I appreciate that.
I think all the play, Gordo's obviously on the Play Tessie podcast, the official.
No offense to the other guys, but I know Gordo the most.
Yeah.
He is the
Pat and Sammy and
straw
Joe
that stirs
Braman,
the drink, yeah, to use your phrase over there.
You owe me $5.
I appreciate that. Yeah, those guys all do great work, though. We love doing it. We love grinding.
You know what, Gordo? Gordo reminds me of a Canadian.
Canadian?
I'm always shocked that you're not Canadian.
Why is that?
Because you're so nice. Like, it's kind of nice.
You saying Americans can't be nice, Rob? Come on.
And even
give us some credit.
Curtis likes Gordo. He doesn't even know who he is, but he retweets him because he aggregates well. Gordo is, like, hard at work every day. You got to follow Gordo on X.
Yeah, he doesn't shy away from the aggregation. We're in Yard House. We're drinking.
It's true.
Next thing you know, he's aggregating.
Do you get mad when he aggregates Cotillo and, like,
it's his prerogative to be wrong. I mean, I don't get mad.
Thank you, Gordo, for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You deserve the exposure bucks, and we encourage you to follow Play Tessie wherever you can download your podcasts on the Odyssey app or elsewhere. So Gordo's a younger guy. Before we get his take on the NBA problems, look at the text line, Rob. It is like consensus too many threes. People bitching about the NBA, why the ratings are down.
Yeah, I don't think it's a question.
So how do they fix that then? One guy is suggesting have a max number per game, and then over, like, let's say it's 10 from a 339 texter, they then start to count as twos to discourage teams from taking them.
It's not a terrible idea. You know, again, to relate it to a baseball analogy, we were talking about pitchers' injuries with Brian Bannister, who is now with the White Sox. And remember when it came out a little while ago, Manfred is going to make all pitchers, like, pitchers go six innings, which was nuts. It's crazy. But what Bannister said was that you can make it where a pitcher has to go, if a pitcher doesn't go, let's say, five or six innings, then you lose the DH. Okay, like, I can deal with that. That's fine. But to your point about this, if you have a penalty, you can't take it away. But if you have a penalty, that makes more sense. They're never going to just take it away. And pushing it out or adding a four-point play isn't going to do it. You have a limit. That is the best rule.
9-7-8 suggests in fourth quarter only. Three-pointers don't count until the fourth quarter.
No.
That's a great outside-the-box idea.
What generation are you?
Yeah, are you a millennial? Or are you?
I'm like on the borderline. I think I'm technically a millennial.
Okay.
But like,
so do you watch the NBA? Obviously, you're a rare baseball guy from your demo. At least that's the perception.
He aggregates the NBA with the best of them.
Okay. So
yeah, I watch all the Celtics games.
Does the NBA have a problem? Are there ratings drop to be concerned about?
I mean, numbers don't lie, right? So yeah, there's a concern.
But watch. You just said you watch them.
I watch, but the numbers don't lie, Rob. If they're down, they're down, and you got to ask yourself why. Everyone points to the threes. I think the NBA would be better if these guys just didn't like each other. They're all so connected.
That's a good one.
I think they're, I mean, it feels like an old head thing to say, but it just feels like they're all so buddy-buddy. It's such a young generation. These guys come up playing together in AAU.
Well, there is.
You want to see them hate each other.
To your point, there's not really any great rivalries.
Yeah.
We had the best thing we had was the Brunson family going after what's his name, who was traded to Minnesota,
Randall?
No, the double Go D Bear. There, double D,
Dante DiVincenzo.
Thank you,
nice job, College Tom back there behind the glass.
Thank you, College Tom. So
Tom has a new name.
But that was all we had. We don't have any rivalries. We don't have any. Oh my goodness! Here they.
You had a little Heat Celtics rivalry, and then that kind of faded quick.
When was that?
When they played at the bubble
years ago.
Yeah,
exactly.
Your other issue is your top of the league. Like when the Warriors were prominent, Kevin Durant was a hateable star. Like that guy, the perception was this guy's ruining the league. Whereas right now, Jason Tatum's just like. He's just like a dad who loves to play basketball for the team.
I said this to Ken Gordo that the stars also aren't as dynamic as they used to be. Like Jason Tatum isn't as dynamic because of the 3-point shot. That's a fact. He's the step back three is his shot. It's not the I'm going to drive the lane and make an unbelievable dish. You know, like our guy Larry Bird or even like Jordan, whoever it is. But the dynamic stars, Doncic, Jokic. Like, these guys aren't dynamic players. They're playing Nerf hoop. Those two guys are playing Nerf hoop.
What does that mean?
Nerf you know hoop. What I'm talking about.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, let's take John Morant.
You put the Nerf hoop up on your door, and your big brother said they want to play Nerf hoop, and you say, sure. And then he just backs you down and takes advantage of the fact that you're 5'3". That's Nerf hoop.
But, I mean, John Morant, some of these guys are dynamic. Anthony Edwards, they're dynamic players. They can make every pass that Bird and Magic would have made. They're certainly more like acrobatic driving to the rim and with dunks. So it's just, I don't know what, like somebody has suggested the players change teams too often and you never really associate them with a city and that hurts the rivalry. Like
that might be a thing. That could be a thing.
Maybe with, even though Celtics-Mavericks was not a rivalry, you should have had one with Kyrie. But he's been on 5 teams since he left here, or whatever it is. So you don't really hate the Mavericks.
Do we think that part of the reason guys aren't hateable is because with the way the CBA is in the NBA now, guys don't leave in free agency, they get traded?
Could be.
So now it kind of looks like the teams are making decisions to move on from guys as opposed to the guy taking matters into his own hands and leaving?
And another thing is, a few years ago, to go back to when Ken felt it like it was yesterday, even though it was 5 years ago, the bubble, was the super teams, like there was this perception that we were going to get the super teams, and everyone was going to hate the super teams. There's not even that anymore. Like, it doesn't feel like there's even that anymore. Right.
You had Golden State, but they're fading.
Yeah, but we thought, oh my goodness, this is how the NBA is going to be. But at least you hated them. Mm-hmm. At least you hated the Heat when they came in with Bosch and Wade and LeBron.
You think people hate the Celtics?
No.
Why?
Well, I will say this. I think that they, of the teams that people want to hate, they're at the top of the list. But the Celtics still aren't. They won the championship, but I still don't think they get the respect of the Golden State a few years ago.
I don't think so either.
Because I think that people are going to default to the Celtics championship last year. Not everybody, but they're going to be like, oh my goodness, look at the path they took.
Easy path. Yeah,
right.
People point to the path. By the way, quick baseball nugget from John Heyman, which I'm hesitant to see. Gordo would have aggregated this, but I don't even know if you
think would have. You don't think he's doing it right now?
Maybe he already has. I don't know. I think he actually already has. So, but Bradford, you don't like Heyman, right? Heyman's
no,
not
I
a
like
guy
Heyman.
You trust. Oh, you do?
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, okay. Paul Goldschmidt expected to choose a team soon. Yankees are interested. No Red Sox associated with Goldschmidt. Should they be in on him?
Did he put no? Did anyone think that they were going to be associated with Goldschmidt?
Don't they need a first baseman?
Yankees.
Yeah. It reeks Yankees.
Okay, so if he goes to the Yankees, that's Devin Williams, the closer. That's Bellinger.
Freed,
and now Goldschmidt.
So basically,
they're dunking on you.
It's the all Hall of Fame name team.
What's yeah, old mean? Guys that were better 5 years ago.
Like, every single one of those guys is what? A multi-time All-Star or an MVP or a Cy Young?
Yeah, Devin Williams and Max Fried are in their prime, correct?
That's true. They're 30, right?
Okay, yeah. And
Goldschmidt's going to be 38.
Yeah, Goldschmidt is what he is. I mean, he's like Rizzo. Like, he's the Rizzo acquisition.
But again, if you're a Red Sox fan, Gordo, the Yankees are doing stuff. You're not doing much. You made one signature trade, and that's about it. Chapman, if you give them credit for that.
This is where you respond.
Yeah, no, it's hard to compare the two because the Yankees are being uber aggressive, and you got to give them credit. Like they lost Juan Soto, they got left at the altar, and they've responded. But with the amount of guys still left on the market, I know the Sox haven't spent money, but how can you complain?
Well, easy. Because as I said, they've gotten benefit of the doubt by making the Crochet trade in terms of trading. Right, that's not an easy trade to make. That is not an easy thing for front offices to do. They still do not have benefit of the doubt when it comes to spending money, no matter what they say.
It's two different things. It's like this.
Right,
Brett
but,
get
okay,
the
fine,
the
but one is just as important as the other.
No, I 100% agree. I find it so hard to believe, and maybe this is just me being naive, that after last year, I am Canadian, but after last year with the whole full throttle thing and having to walk that back and seeing how angry it made people, that Sam Kennedy would go out there and say that we're thinking about going over the tax, and then for them to just finish the offseason, what are they, $40 million under right now? Like, they're going to do stuff.
Yeah, we come back to where we started. You have to get, yes, uncomfortable, and they haven't proven that they are willing. As much as they say, even as much as they've done, Soto, Fried, whatever it is, you have to get to a level where you win these free agent signings. And I'm not talking about Patrick Sandoval. I'm not talking about Aroldis Chapman being at Aroldis Chapman. I'm not talking about those guys. I'm talking about guys that they simply have not won that battle with. And again, Crochet, good for you. That is not easy to do. But we're talking about Burns. We're talking about Bregman. We're talking about even Buehler. We're talking about Teoscar Hernandez. And Gordo, we talked about this earlier with Hernandez. Hernandez is the perfect example of this. Last year, because you set a price on this guy, you lost out on him. That is defined coming from the player himself. Because you did that, because you took that wrong turn, now you're paying the price and you're chasing him again. Don't make the same mistake twice. If you like the guy, pay for the guy and get uncomfortable.
If you have a guy that's going to fill an obvious need, because this is a team that even with the prospects coming up, we've seen prospects fail in year one, and two of the big three that they have left are left-handed. This is a team that needs a right-handed bat, and it can't be a Randall Grichuk. I'm sorry. Like, I saw that interest yesterday. Like, I get he hit lefties and he hit them well last year. You need a real right-handed bat.
It's
going to
be Pavetta and Randall Grichuk before we're done. Pavetta will be back here. Mark my words.
Will they be signed in time for Fenway Fest?
Let's go to Jeff in Watertown. He's going to be at Fenway Fest. I know that. Hello, Jeff. Jeffrey.
How you doing? Tell about that, guys. You caught me off guard. Well, I love your conversation about the NBA, too. My solution always was just reverse the three-pointers and the two-pointers. Make people have to earn the three-pointers in the paint, dunk,
whoa,
things like that. Put up, make it physical again. I mean, to me, it's the only reason to watch the NBA is if it's a beautiful game, and it's not a beautiful game. So why would you watch?
Map up, make America physical again.
You know, just do that. But anyway, Brad, well, I had a weird thought. I wanted your perspective on. I know I'm changing the subject here, but. But it was Belichick going to North Carolina and having this idea that he's going to kind of revolutionize or, you know, this bring this professionalism to the game. And the idea is kind of intriguing, and I think that, you know, it could really work. But it kind of reminds me of Curt Schilling and his computer game projects. If you remember, when Curt Schilling first was involved in those computer games, people were raving about the game and how good it was and how creative it was. But in the year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it took to get to market, times had changed. Everything went to the smaller screen and the portable thing, and his game was outdated. And I'm just wondering if Belichick is a dinosaur trying to bring an old way of football to college, and if it fails, he's going to look even worse. He's going to be the ultimate dinosaur, the ultimate out-of-touch, you know, former hero. So I just wondered, you know, if you thought that analogy had any made any sense.
I like the analogy. Number one, I think that Ken buying stock in Atari 2600 was a bad idea.
Isn't that still a sore subject in Providence, that in Rhode Island?
Of course.
Can he bankrupt the state?
That would be a sore subject.
So Bill's going to bankrupt
the UNC. But it's a good analogy. Like, I just think the Belichick thing is going to end. It's not going to be good.
The problem with him is he has too many, like, bad opponents that he could lose to on any Saturday, which would just be embarrassing. Like, he's going to lose to Syracuse.
What's the end game here? I mean, the end game is, he made some bowl games and he was okay.
If he makes the playoff, it would be unbelievable. Like, it's possible.
If he makes the playoff, and you talk about last night, right?
Yeah, yep.
That would be, this is another reason why that playoff is great. If Indiana, who cares about
SMU's
Indiana?
In the playoff.
Right, SMU, right? But if you have Bill Belichick is the reason, say, hey, you know what? I know they're the 10th seed, but anything Bill Belichick gets in the tournament, watch out. Watch out. So there's that, but I just think at the end of the day, we're going to look back at this as being kind of like a sad ending to it.
Unless he is revolutionary. He's so old school, it actually works for college football, which is changing so dramatically, and it's like NFL.
Here's the problem, is that what we've learned from college football is that you can be a really crappy coach with good players, and you can win. The good player, it's the Brady thing all over again. The good players are always going to win out.
Who's the crappiest winning coach of all time in the NFL?
But think, well,
Bruce Arians?
Oh, in the NFL?
Is that what you said?
Oh, no, I'm saying in college football.
Oh, in college football.
Yeah, gotcha. Like Gus Malzahn won a championship with Auburn. Why? Because he had Cam Newton, right? I mean, it's like, this is how it works. But you raise a good point. Who's the crappiest NFL coach?
Bruce Arians is a good one.
Who's the Ravens coach? Brian Billick?
Yeah.
Ray Lewis? Great defense?
I mean, there's been a few of them where you're like, I can't believe that guy won the Super Bowl, right? Or was even in the Super
Bowl. Seifert, I don't know.
Nice. No, anyway.
Let's go back to the calls. Tom in Maine. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how you doing? First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you.
I wanted to go back and chat with you about Gerard Mayo a little bit. It's really driving me a little crazy the way you guys are being so hard on this guy. First year coach. He's engaging with the media. He makes mistakes and he says he's sorry. And you guys are just crucifying him.
Well, who's you guys? We've said he deserves another year. It's not his fault. It was mostly Kraft talk this morning on our show.
Well, he deserves his 3-year contract. But I mean, if you listen to the different shows during the week, which I do, these guys are ripping him all the time. And you all complained about Bill wouldn't give you anything. Bill would never talk to us. Bill was just, shutting the media out. And now Gerard's trying to actually talk to you guys. And I mean, you collectively, the media, and you're crucifying him. I just think it's so
unfair. Tom, can I just tell you that you bring up Belichick and Mayo, obviously polar opposites. None of it matters. It's all about winning. I remember Bill Belichick. The Rich's history with Belichick is crazy to me because I remember actually going when I was very, very young, watching a Bill Belichick Cleveland Browns press conference. And he was the same way. And he got ripped in Cleveland because he was the same way. And then he started winning, and you can do whatever you want. But if you're Mayo, if you win, you can make all the mistakes you want talking. Like, who cares? But you got to win. You have to present a better product than what we're seeing.
He does deserve another year, largely speaking. I mean, he has not had a good year, that's for sure.
Losses, though, what would you even have expected going in? Like, I would have gone into this year, I think I predicted 4 wins, and they're probably going to finish
but
one short.
Would you have predicted how they have looked?
They have looked disorganized.
No, my biggest issue is that they look worse than they did at the start of the year. Like, there hasn't been improvement. They look as a team like they're less connected and they've gotten worse.
Yeah, but I would agree. Largely, Tom is right. He deserves one more year. It's obvious they're going to make Van Pelt the fall guy. That's the most obvious thing out there. The poor guy's just dead man walking.
What would that make it? Would that make it 4 offensive if they hire a new guy?
It might be 5.
5 and 6 5 years?
I think it is.
Like, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Let's go to John and Gardner, back to the NBA. Hello, Johnny.
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for taking the call. On the way out, please, Kenny, I got a quick baseball question for Rob.
Okay.
But not this past Wednesday, but 2 Wednesdays ago when Mago was on, a very insightful, bright, intelligent caller called to suggest that she pick up the torch of limiting the amount of threes in the NBA. Like, say, for example, 10.5. So you make it strategic.
Yep.
You shoot your 10. After that, wherever, shoot from the other end of the court, it's a 2-pointer. So it would be strategic in limiting. And that was brought up before this past Wednesday.
I like
Rob,
it.
Rob.
Go ahead. Yep.
Rob?
Yes.
Is it true that the Netflix crew drew out a restraining order to keep Kristen Kratzis away for 100 feet away?
Ooh.
For what? For the Netflix? Are you kidding me? Never. He
Why
was.
Why they want him away?
Yeah, he was the guy. That
he was in every scene.
He was. He's gonna.
I know they were trying to keep him away. For God's sakes, the kid puts his face in front of every camera.
I got you. I think they were. I think they were leading into Tristan Casas. I don't think Tristan Casas needed to say anything for them to embrace. But we did have a name. They announced the name. What is it?
Very creative name.
The club. It's like in the clubhouse or something.
Yeah. I was saying Gordo. I said before I watched the Aaron Rodgers one. I don't know if you watched
it. I'm one episode in.
Yeah, I hope that it's. I don't think it'll be so infomercially as Aaron Rodgers. The Florida Gators one was nauseating.
Yeah.
Because this Red Sox crew did do the Last Chance U, the JUCO, and those JUCO guys didn't come off like great. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to find out how much they, because with the Netflix thing, we know. They overshot early on, right? They did. They didn't understand how a baseball season worked. They were there the entire spring training. They were there for a vast majority of the first few months. It was an unbelievably costly exercise. They basically run out of money, go over budget, and then after the All-Star break, when they start hitting the skids, they're nowhere to be found, and then they show up at the end. Like, they show up at the end. And by the way, this happened. You know all the optimism? Nah.
Like the most critical part of the season, the turning points of the season.
Yeah,
will be better than the dynasty. That's all you care about.
Well, the good thing is it's not going to be a craft production.
All right. Yeah, Rob is here.
Final say. That's
Gordo is here. College Tom's going to try to trend. We'll give him a shot, and then we'll be back with a little tattoo talk.
Oh, yeah.
I think, right? We're going to... Get a little insight on your tattoo.
We
also have full line callers here. People,
save the tattoo talk to a little.
All right, we'll push that back a little bit. We'll keep your thoughts coming.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Tom. Kenny Curtis Show, no Curtis today. We got Brad Foe, and we've got Gordo. Boston Sports Gordo sitting in, third man in today, three-man weave until 12:30, NFL games, and then the night college game here on the FM. All three college games on WEI AM today, starting at 2:30, after the BC Hoops game over there. Brad Foe is in. We were talking a little baseball earlier, so what should we be shooting for here, Red Sox fan? What's realistic? What's going to happen? I want you guys both on the record before we go back to the calls.
Yeah, I mean,
the remaining offseason, who's coming?
I think they, to Gordo's point, I think that they will do some. They will sign somebody. My guess it'll be like a Walker Buehler type. Probably.
Which I like Walker Buehler. He didn't have a bad start the last year, but would you say he's still?
Yeah, I don't. I wouldn't. If you came away. Like what the Yankees have done, and I know the Yankees fans still scream and yell, and but they're doing stuff, right? You put, I don't know if you know this, they don't run isolations for outfielders. You need a complete team. So they have done stuff. They have done stuff to make their team better. Who did they? Oh, they tried trading Stroman. You see that? They tried to trade Stroman for Arenado.
Rest in peace to the Yoshida Arenado swap.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's dead.
But if you come away from this and you say you get Buehler, you get Teoscar Hernandez, or even my guy Taylor Ward from the Angels, and you get Crochet, okay.
Adequate offseason.
One more reliever.
And another reliever. You got to get another reliever, too.
Gordo, who's your pick? Of the starting pitchers left, of the outfielders left, who do you want? Who should Red Sox fans want?
I mean, who should Red Sox fans want? They should be shooting for the stars. Like, there's still no reason. They haven't spent a lot of money yet. There's no reason they can't go out and pay a guy like Corbin Burns. Do I think that's coming? No. But that's where your hopes should be. I don't think the Red Sox fans should shut up.
I left somebody out.
Good.
Sasaki.
Well.
No, but if seriously, if you get Sasaki, because
that's their dream. He doesn't cost anything.
And, yeah, exactly. But also, it's people will get, even though not one single person listening has ever seen him pitch, right? Except for maybe like on Twitter or YouTube or something like that. Barely. But they love the idea of him. They love what they hear about them. And also, it is another example, like getting Crochet, it is another example that, yes, you can play in the deep pool, even though this isn't costing your money. But, yes, you were perceived as a place that people want to go because you might actually win games and they care about winning. Like, that is a step in the right. All this under-the-hood stuff, all this pitching lab, blah, blah, blah. Like, that is what it's going to get Sasaki, along with Ken saying that for some reason, having Daisuke Matsuzaka 20 years ago was going to lead him to water. But no, like that, to me, am I wrong? I mean, who do you think would get more people excited, Corbin Burns or Roki Sasaki?
I think it's Corbin Burns.
Wrong.
I think it's Corbin it's Burns, but it should be Roki Sasaki, because if you're talking about who's going to be the better pitcher for the next 6 years,
people
combined,
like the unknown. People like, they know what they are in Corbin Burns.
People like the star. They like people like the ace.
Daisuke, Koji, Nomo,
Tazawa,
Sawamura.
You have the history.
Sawamura.
You've got Yoshida. The lineage.
Remember when Yoshida was gonna draw Yamamoto to the Red Sox?
I remember when Yoshida came over and Adam Jones called, not the Orioles Adam Jones, called him the Japanese Juan Soto. Remember that one?
Yes. Yeah.
Could happen. Let's go to Mike in Rhode Island on the Sox. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, Rob. I think the biggest deterrent is Kennedy. Kennedy is the one that runs his mouth and makes all the statements. We're going to spend the money. We're going to make the big trade. I'm wondering where Theo is in all this.
Yeah, okay. Here's the interesting part about this is that, because we would say, oh, Theo's off doing golf or race car or whatever for Fenway Sports Group. I will say this. It should be heartening. And I painted this picture when I wrote the story. The Fried signs, the news that Max Fried signs comes out. We as media, now we're going up right after that. Up to the suite to talk to Breslow, as you do every day at the winter meetings. And as we're coming in, out walks Sam Kennedy, Alex Cora, and Theo Epstein. The fact that Theo Epstein is in that room during the winter meetings should be a positive, absolutely.
Good.
So, 100%.
No, I was shocked to hear that he was there.
Oh, God, Mike. Oh, he dropped.
Yeah.
Well, I'm shocked. Yeah, they certainly haven't promoted the fact that he's been involved in stuff recently.
Well, I don't think he wants that promotion.
Yeah, they're being very careful.
But this is the thing, is that who is having Craig Breslow's ear the most? This is what we have to understand. Is that, because you said, oh, the ownership isn't going to pay the money, they aren't paying. I do think this is a Craig Breslow thing, how he's valuing these guys. But the question has to be asked, who is Breslow listening to when he's making this decision the most? The 15 analysts in the room? Which they hired the entire driveline empire, right? Or is what Theo saying carrying more weight? Is what Alex Cora saying carrying more weight? Because at some point, the personality comes into it. I value this more, right?
Okay, but we have on record that if the GM spends too much, he's going to get fired. That's the Dave Dombrowski story. So Breslow knows if he goes rogue, he'll get fired. He cannot go out and do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I think it was more complicated than that.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, you're the last guy to talk to John Henry in London. That's the last time the guy's been seen. Honestly, you had the last conversation with him. It was a great...
No. We had the... when Dombrowski was fired, we had the thing up in the suite where everybody went up there. And, yeah, it was... Yeah. Back, point well taken.
Back to the phones. Brandon in Boston, I think on the Patriots. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, you know, my thoughts on the Patriots is, you know, with the last caller that came in, you know, everybody giving Gerard Mayo all this guff. It's his first year. You know, when you're writing an essay, when you're finished writing, you don't just hand the essay in. You have to revise, you have to indent, make the corrections. And when the corrections are done, you hand it in, right? And that's how you got to look at this team. It's a rough draft, okay? And the pieces are not put in place. You know, this offense sucks. You know, you have about 3 to 4 good players on offense. You're going to have to cater at least 70% or 60% of revenue towards the offense, and then probably put in 30% more money towards the defense. So you have to spend in the draft. I mean, you're going to have to spend in free agency, and you can't be afraid to do it. And I just don't believe an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, they need to go. And I think, you know, once the pieces are set in place, I think Gerard Mayo is going to be successful, but he doesn't have the horses to work with. And for people to keep on calling for his job, it's just ridiculous. I mean, give the dude a chance.
Yeah, you're right.
Next season, win 6 to 7 more games, right? He won 3. Give me 6 to 7, then you go on from there. Once the progress happens, all right, he got me like 9, 10 wins, we're in the playoffs, right? You know what I mean? Or close to the playoffs, we're going to extend him. But to just call for his job for the first year, it doesn't make sense. You have to give him the players. Let's see what he does with actual talent.
Thanks, Brandon. Some good points. Now, Like, let's say the Red Sox pulled the plug pretty quick on a couple managers through
Bobby
the history.
Valentine.
Bobby V is the first one that comes to mind.
Yeah, it sure does.
But was that so bad? It was obvious to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, one thing like, piled up and on the other, and then next thing you know, you had 69 wins. I mean, the correlation there is that. Yeah, I mean, it starts with having no talent. They don't have the talent, especially at the offensive line. But the expectation, much like with Bobby Valentine, the expectation with Gerard Mayo, with the Patriots organization, with the money they had to spend, with everything, you're turning everything over, was that it was going to be better. I mean, and I'm not talking about predicting wins. I'm talking about what you had to work with, including the high draft pick, that it was going to be better, that you were going to take a big, big step forward. Can we say that this was a step forward this year for the Patriots?
Yes, Drake May. That's all anybody cared about before the year began.
Right.
You have a franchise quarterback. Step forward.
Sure, but...
And they didn't ruin him. They could have ruined him.
That is an accomplishment in itself.
That would have been the Bobby Valentine
era. We don't know.
They would have ruined him.
We don't know this. I mean, we don't know that we have, you know, Stroud in Houston who has taken a step back. We've seen it before. You have to keep taking steps forward.
They haven't ruined him yet.
I think the problem is that May aside, the organization as a whole, did you take a step forward in decision-making, in spending, in perception, and all of that? And the answer is undeniably no.
Okay, but let's say they fired Mayo tomorrow. Could you really say they gave him a fair chance?
No, because of the talent.
Okay, so that's it. So you can't fire him
until you give him a fair chance. Fire him.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Paulie in Dedham, though, I think wants him out. Let's go to Paulie. Hello, Paulie.
Hey, what do you say, guys? Merry Christmas to both of you. And Rob, I won't bore you with my Showtime exploits of being a rock and roll groupie in Boston. Anyway, I'll kick Mayo upstairs. You can't let this opportunity pass by. You've got a chance to put quite the stack together right now. You kick him upstairs. He's more of a CEO type, upper management type anyway. He's in the room with Elliot Wolf, keeping a close eye on him. Rabel comes into the room. The two football guys, they dominate the room, and they fill up the roster with the players that they want. You get to handpick them right there. You bring back Steve Belichick to run the defense. Whoa. And, of course, Josh McDaniels to run the offense. I think that they both should have been here right this year. McDaniels is sitting there in Westwood waiting for us to call right now. One of the greatest offensive minds the game's ever seen. He's got a playbook the size of War and Peace. Steve Belichick forgot more about defense than Covington 11-0. The first thing he said, words come out of his mouth, the first word that would come out of his mouth when he was growing up was defense.
Wow. So Paulie just fixed the Patriots in 60 seconds. That was the Jones and Keefe bit this week. That's aggressive. Mayo upstairs, Rabel in, McDaniels in, bring back Steve Belichick. So there you go. There's a theory.
I think bringing Vrabel in would be the only scenario where I'd be okay with moving on from Mayo. And you'd have to know ahead of time, which
he'll take the job. Curran basically said that this week. He's interested, if they are interested in him. All right, 617-779-7937. Here until 12:30, Ken and Curtis Show with Bradfoe and Gordo sitting in. Well, I don't know if College Tom picked the Motley Crue because Bradfoe just went to L.A. like a guy right out of the 80s, the metal scene, and got a tat from a guy on the Sunset Strip. But that's what happened this week.
That's
where you just flew to L.A.?
I did fly to L.A.
Motley Crue, L.A., made their bones in L.A.
It's like every time my son goes, I went to see a band at the Viper Room. I'm like, oh, River Phoenix. He's like, no idea what I'm talking about.
Did he die there?
He died on the sidewalk right in front. Yeah.
Jeez. Anyway, you went to L.A. and you met Mr. Cartoons, who I only know from that Modelo commercial where they talk about him being a street artist legend.
Yeah, so...
Oh, my God. Real quick.
The story was is that Joe Kelly, who is the LLC owner of Baseballs and Boring...
Yep, your brand.
...pitches for the Dodgers. And he... we agreed during the World Series, if the Dodgers won the World Series, that we will both get Baseballs and Boring's tattoos. Baseballs and Boring spawned from something that we did way back in 2022. So... He said, oh, yeah, if we win the World Series, I'll do it, but I'll only do it with Mr. Cartoon. And I wasn't that familiar with Mr. Cartoon. And then I started Googling him, and I understood why he only wanted to do it. And maybe the preeminent tattoo artist in the country has done every celebrity you can ever imagine, Kobe and Snoop Dogg. I mean, look at his Wikipedia page. We rattle through it. But he's this unbelievable artist. And so I said, sure, they win the World Series, and... So flash forward to this week, I fly out to L.A., go get the tattoo with Joe. Mm-hmm. Baseballs and Boring.
A smaller version than Joe
but
got.
But still an aggressive, you would say. This wasn't just a logo.
It was not just the ship's anchor.
If anybody cared about the company as much as I do, you would also get a Ken and Curtis tattoo, or at least WEI in your knuckles. But Joe and I, 6 hours with Mr. Tattoo, basically a celebrity.
You did 3 hours.
No, we were there for six
okay,
hours.
Okay, well, don't pretend like you were in the chair for six.
I was there 6 hours. I went
you
to
also
hotel.
Tapped
I,
out
I,
once.
Well, yeah. I didn't want to. Well, we can talk about that. But anyway, so I flew out. I was in L.A. for about 19 hours total just to get this tattoo, which I appreciate. My wife was very kind to Chief Marketing Officer of Baseballs and Boring. But it was just a great experience, and we're going to have Joe Kelly on at the top of the hour so to give his perspective.
Cool. Looks great. Gordo, would you agree? Looks unbelievable.
It's fantastic. Better in person than in the pictures.
Yeah,
if you see Rob, make sure that he takes his shirt off and shows you.
I have seen Rob without his shirt on four times today.
Yeah, my washboard's stomach.
It looks good.
The first time I flexed. And then I just let it go.
Awaken 180.
Awaken 180.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
All right, so we'll talk to Joe. We'll get more in depth with Mr. Cartoon. And he loves Mr. Cartoons, right? Like,
I saw him after he won the World Series. He was twice as excited after he got his tattoo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's get some baseball calls before Joe Kelly calls in. John in the car. Hey, John.
A question and then a comment, Ken. First, Bradfoe. I'm holding down the North Shore until you get back.
Why
do the Red Sox sign these Tommy John pitchers at least once a year to a 2-year deal, and the first year is spent on the shelf, and then I got to be honest, I don't even know of one that actually pitched the second year. But why is this their MO now? Do you have a reason?
The reason is because the risk isn't great, even though you say, well, it's millions of dollars for them. John, what you have to understand, anytime you sign a free agent or do anything, does it prevent you from doing something that's really, really important? And signing Patrick Sandoval, signing Liam Hendricks or James Paxton is not going to prevent you from doing something that's more important financially. And, you know, the good way to look at it right now is that, all right, you said the same thing about Liam Hendricks, and now he's going to maybe be the closer. That's how it works. John, I can't get too worked up over it because, once again, it doesn't affect, like,
well, it could.
It shouldn't.
If they don't spend the $18 million on something else this year because of it.
No, which, again, it doesn't come out of that bucket. But if they don't do something that we have every right to scream and yell and say, yeah, that's what you did, that's all that you did. And I think that's more intention than financial might.
I want to point out some of the upside.
Illogical for, It seems illogical for a team that's always on the cheap to spend this, you know, whatever the money is, on something that's not even going to be out on the field. It doesn't make any sense. To me, the whole problem is the park. Everybody goes to this park that doesn't even live here anymore. Give me Riverfront Stadium, Candlestick Park with a chain link fence, something that's going to keep people out of here and make them put a baseball team on the field.
I like it.
Kenny, one more thing. Yeah. It's been a couple of weeks. Larry Johnson was part of the greatest Saturday morning radio show in the history of radio. He gave me a million Saturdays of enjoyment, and he'll be missed. Thank you, John.
Thanks for saying that. Love the teacher and the preacher and the creature.
So kind.
And that was part of it. Rest in peace, LJ. Let's go to Rob in Maine. Hello, Rob.
Hey, Rob. Good question for you, boys.
Yep.
So I'm a Mets fan, so I don't want to see Pete Alonso leave. But Pete Alonso, the Red Sox, he'd have 60 jacks next year for the Sox. And he'd probably get 40 at Fenway alone. Just look at his spray chart. And the Yankees are interested in him. So do you really think that's like the boomer bust thing for the Sox? Because I don't really see him signing no pitching. And it's like, if you're going to sign somebody, spend the money on Alonso at least.
Thank you, Rob. Has there been any connection with them in Alonso?
No.
Why don't they like Alonso?
I don't think a lot of people like Alonso.
Personality thing?
He has no market right now.
Not personality. Just he's sort of a one-dimensional guy.
Seem to value power as much as some other teams do.
Who does?
The Red Sox. Guys that hit for power, but not much.
Oh, I think they do.
I mean, they let Kyle from Waltham go. Schwarbs.
Okay.
1 year. They let O'Neill go.
Yeah, but they keep replacing him.
It's just one and done. They don't value them.
Right, but I agree that, like, right-handed hitters, it's hard to argue. Hunter Renfroe, Adam Duvall, Cody Roth. I go down the list. But I think they value power, and that's why Tristan Casas is here.
But you said he's not going to be here. Too much writing on the wall there.
Well, there's smoke, there's fire. And I just think that they view that as – I think that the Arenado thing's interesting to me, that if they had that plan of trading Casas – and sliding Arenado in at first base, that was intriguing to me in terms of maybe something they were going to do.
Arenado at first base at third and then Devers to first?
Again, for whatever reason. Maybe they wait another year and then they flip-flop. I don't know.
All right, we'll bring Joe Kelly on to talk about the brand.
Very important.
It's never been hotter. The Baseball Isn't Boring tattoo brand. It's hard to talk over the national anthem, Tom. Good choice by College Tom. It is the Kenny Curtis Show.
Is that what we're calling? College Tom?
Yeah, that's what Greg called
him. Not like intern Tom.
He's not beyond that. Tom. He's no longer an intern.
That was part-time Tom.
Part-time
for a second.
Now.
Part-time Tom.
Part-time Tom.
I only have 6 more months of college, so that nickname doesn't have a lot of time left.
We were comparing tattoos, Tom.
Tom's got 2, he said.
Yeah, they're pretty impressive.
Yeah, what are
not
they
small.
Up?
So I got a cross on my ribs, and then I have one on the back of my calf from my grandparents.
There you go. Well, Bradfo's in the tattoo world. First tattoo of your life, right?
Yeah, that shouldn't go that without saying. First tattoo. I never, ever thought I'd get a tattoo.
Never
jumped in the deep end right off the bat.
I hope my 92-year-old dad isn't listening.
Oh, why? He'd be upset about that?
A lot
of guys in that era had one or so, you know.
I'm just telling you how he thought he was going to make it all throughout his son's life without me getting a tattoo. But
he's not on social media, huh?
His wife is. But, my mom is. But it's I didn't think I would get a tattoo. But, you know, again, this is what baseball should be about. What our lives should be about is having fun, right? Of doing things that are enjoying. We enjoy, and that's what we should do. We shouldn't be so like, oh my goodness, we can't do that. It's a tattoo.
Well, not everybody has access to Mr. Cartoons where they can get, you know, the Picasso of our time, whatever he is.
That's the power of the brand.
Are you worried, though? One thing I'd be worried about, I know Joe Kelly adores him, and he's going to come on and talk about, you know, this guy in the process. You guys got matching Baseball Isn't Boring tattoos. But aren't you worried when, like, a restaurant does too many things, they'll do one thing really well? So he's this legendary graffiti, like, street artist. And that Modelo commercial, he's, like, painting cars and stuff.
Mm.
I'd be worried the tattoo game is not up to his regular game.
No, I can tell you this. And that's what's one of the most remarkable things, and Joe can weigh in on it. But it was that even me, the schlub, the guy that the not the headliner of this equation, that he was not going all out on it. I can tell you. Like, just take a look at it.
Looks great.
Yeah.
So all right, you want to bring on your co-host here?
Sure. We have Joe Kelly, owner of LLC, of the Baseballs and Boring brand, and also the owner of the person on the planet who I think was the most excited I've ever seen of getting a tattoo, Joe Kelly. Hello, Joe.
Oh. What up, Brad Boat?
yeah, so this is Ken's with us, Gordo's with us. Have you met Gordo?
I don't know. We haven't met.
Okay, anyway. So
Gordon Bombay?
The what?
Is that Gordon Bombay?
No. Well, now he is. We're going to call him that. So, Joe, you know, the experience as we were setting the scene, you know, I flew out to L.A. for 19 hours. We met up. We were there. We were there 6 hours, right, at Mr. Cartoon. Is that right?
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. And yours took, I was trying to remember, how long did yours take? It took 2 hours?
No way, dude. It took me and Matt, the video guy, when looking at our phones, trying to see like what was like the last text message we sent someone before I got started. It's probably like an hour, no more than an hour 15.
Oh, so mine was less than that. So, all right. So I overstated it.
Yeah, yours, we looked at yours. Yours is like a hour 4, an hour 5 minutes, maybe.
Well, with an intermission when you had to tap out.
My hand was going.
But I'm talking about like when ink goes to skin. I'm not talking about like the other stuff.
Yeah.
Well, like actual timer, like where the needle goes in.
So Joe kept trying to scare me. Like Joe kept trying to scare me and saying, yeah, like, you sure you're nervous? I'm gonna, you know, FaceTime my wife and everything else. But listen, I think that I blended into that community, the Mr. Cartoons community, the tattoo community. I'm one of you guys now. You're welcome.
Rob didn't have anything crazy. I thought like he was in a. A asked for a break. I was like, bro, if this guy asked for a break when he starts. Because some people will go and be like, you know, like, I need a break. And you know, sometimes if you rub over the skin too much in one area, it gets a little raw. And, you know, people need a little time out. But I thought Rob was either going to have to go to the bathroom or ask for a break. But he powered through. I was pretty proud.
Joe, could you sense the fear? Was there fear going into this? Or was he a trooper beforehand, too?
I wouldn't say fear. I think, I don't know. At first, I feel like he was just a little, he was just ready, like, you know, ready to get it. So I think he had questions going on in his head, but he wasn't asking them.
Yeah. He was, my wife was more scared than I was. Let's be honest. I mean,
oh, no doubt.
Yeah. Joe's FaceTiming with my wife, and my wife is asking him, like, so what happens? How do you get a tattoo? What's going on? The thing that I come away from, Joe, and I told this to, I mean, Mr. Cartoons is like, you knew him way before I did. I mean, he's a legend. He's like legit legend, right? I mean, this isn't, he's the best in the world. So when you have your tattoo done, I've never seen someone react like that to anything, the birth of my children, like anything, like you.
Winning the World Series.
Yeah. So tell me, like, what that was like, having the Baseball Isn't Boring brand on your arm with Mr. Tattoo doing it.
Mr. Heck, you got a tattoo from Cartoon? I was like, yeah. So, I mean, it's different for you guys, right, being from Boston, but being from SoCal and being Mexican, it's a privilege, dude. I even got these clippers from my barber, right? You know, Casey Cartoon. And I said, bro, I got the sickest Christmas present for you. And he's like, well, tomorrow's my birthday. And I was like, oh, shoot. So I wrapped those clippers Cartoon gave me. And he was like, no way you got me the Cartoon clippers. Like, he already knew about the clippers because I went to Cartoons, obviously, you could get a tattoo. But he already knew. He's like, no way you got me that for my birthday. And I was like, yeah, bro, it was like 50 grand. I had to buy it. No, I'm just kidding. But I got it for free. But it's just one of those things where, you know, you meet someone famous, right? Or you meet someone you really love, or you meet an actor you really like. But you don't really ever get to take a piece of that interaction or that conversation or that, you know, moment. And when you meet someone that's famous, but the good thing is you know, and you want a tattoo or you know, you're into that kind of thing, you always get to have that moment, you know, that's shared with everyone else, like on your body. Like you get to take something from that where that conversation is going to be picked up, like, oh, who gave you that tattoo? And you have a story to tell. So it was a pretty special time for sure.
Wow. And you documented that you will not be cremated now because of this tattoo. So there you go. That's also
yeah, no chance.
No chance. But
and cremated is the easy way out, and it's cheaper, bro. Your family's just cheap. They don't want to pay for anything else.
That's fair. Well, you know, I just, again, that was as unbelievable experience. It's something that I couldn't imagine. I tell these guys. I would tell them to get a tattoo. Baseball is a boring tattoo, but there's nothing like this. I mean, this was, as you said,
they won't have the same. They won't have the same experience.
No,
they'll think it's like, oh yeah, it's a good idea. But then, like I said, Rob, you got pretty spoiled for your first one, that's for sure.
Yeah, and who would have thought all those years ago when we started the Baseballs and Boring Cause that we'd be sitting there with the best tattoo artist in the world getting a Baseballs and Boring tattoo. And you said it was like one of the best days of your life. It was, you know, it was up there, man. It was up there.
Can you get him back now? Is he on in the Rolodex? Like, you could just get another one? Or what's the waiting list for Mr. Cartoons?
The wait list is crazy. That's a good question. So, Hunter, which is like his right-hand man, was trying to explain where, you know, celebrities will fly into town, right? Let's just say you're and big-name celebrities, like way bigger than Joe Kelly and Rob Bradford. Like, let's just say Brad Pitt likes tattoos, right? Brad Pitt flies into L.A. from where he's from and goes, hey, I'm in town, blah, blah, blah. Is there any way I could get a tattoo? And so Hunter's telling us, like, these people fly in expecting, like, you know, us to have time, like time slot, like, and they're like, well, you know what, we're pretty busy, you know, why don't you tell us your idea, why don't you give us time, and, you know, why don't you come back in, like, you know, a month or let's just say 2 months, and then we could do the tattoo. And he said, like, you know, these kind of people, you know, kind of get upset, but it's not their schedule, right? It's the tattoo artist. Like, this is artwork going on someone's body. Like, this is like, what if someone wanted a piece of your artwork, they're like, hey, I'm here, I'm at your house, draw it for me before I leave. Like, that's not something that you think that they would appreciate as much. So he's definitely freaking busy. We were the last tattoos of 2024. He's taking the rest of the year off. The night before, he said he was tattooing to, like, what did you say, Rob? He's tattooing. It was all night. It was like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m.
He just finished putting a mural on Snoop Dogg's strip club.
Wow.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. But as to your point, Joe, when you have Baseballs and Boring tattoo, you fast track it. Yeah, everybody knows that in the tattoo world. So let's go. Yeah.
We go right to the top. It's streamlined.
We go right to the top.
It's a step forward in his career, too.
Yeah. Well, it was a win-win for everybody. But Joe, I sincerely appreciate it because obviously I don't get a chance to do this. These guys have been glowing over my tattoo, as my wife has as well. So thank you for everything. It was a great experience, and thanks for telling these guys what's what.
Yeah, of course. But next time you go sleeveless in the North End, don't knock nobody out. You can't get any street fights now.
Well, no one would bother. I mean, it could have been very intimidating. All right, man. All right. I'll talk to you.
All right, brother.
All right.
See you guys.
That is Joe Kelly of the Baseballs and Boring Podcast talking about the Mr. Cartoons tats that you can see on social media right now. It sounds cool. Beyonce got a tattoo from him. Looking at his
everybody. It's like, it's
Slash, Eminem,
Kobe. It's I mean, this is like the celebrity tattoo guy. And if I knew how to hack into Wikipedia right now, I'd put Rob Bradford and Joe Kelly. But
Bradford's spot would go right next to Beyonce's spot.
But it is like something where it's sort of like if someone came up to you and said, I want to do the Ken Laird story, right? And you have the best writer ever to do it. Like, that's what it's like, right?
That's, yep. I'd get McLaughlin.
Excellent choice. Yep. Excellent choice. So, but yeah, thank you for letting me talk about my tattoo because it was
very cool.
It was the Baseballs and Boring thing has been a lot of fun, continues to be a lot of fun, and now I can't escape it now. Now I'm basically, that's who I work for, Baseballs and Boring.
For life. Back to the Red Sox, the transition back to Sox talk. Gordo just put this tweet out about Giolito. Because we were talking about all these guys.
During the tattoo conversation?
I didn't tweet
it. About an hour ago.
Oh.
What did I tweet?
Because one of our callers was saying, does this approach ever work where they sign injured guys and why are they wasting money? I guess Giolito, we're going to find out.
That's not a good example.
Yeah. It's not?
Because when they signed him, he was healthy.
Right. Yeah. So I got asked on Twitter because someone compared it to Giolito. I said you couldn't compare it to Giolito because he got hurt after the fact. The Paxton one is where you compare it.
Paxton, Hendricks, Michael Fulmer is another one.
Is Fulmer going to pitch for them this year?
Yeah. He's going to pitch. I don't know if he's going to pitch for them. But, yeah. But
it's a couple of incompletes.
I honestly don't understand people getting all worked up. It's the equivalent of if you sign a relief pitcher for $5 million. Oh, my God. How could you ever sign that? Who cares?
They should have embargoed the announcement for a couple months until after their other significant signings. Like, just tell Patrick Sandoval, we're announcing
this
in April.
That sounds like something the Crafts would do.
People just want to see him drop nine figures on one guy.
Yeah, right. They should.
What do you think, back to Gordo's point, they promised CBT threshold, right? Didn't Sam Kennedy basically say?
They said they're open to it.
I mean, that's not full throttle, but you're throwing it out. They have talked a tough game and so far have not delivered.
And that's the thing, is that you've reached a fork in the road. It's fork in the road, whatever, off season. And the talk. And the comical thing is the talking points that they have. Like, and he's had the talking point of, he brought it up again at the winter meetings. I'm like, don't say that again. You said it at the postseason press conference, which was, we've asked our fans to be patient, and now it's time to pay off.
Last struggle.
The last struggle. No, don't. Because when you keep saying it, like the North Star thing they kept saying, when you keep saying it, you know that you've already crafted this in a back room. This is what we're going to say. This is the messaging that we're going to say it. Just be a human. Just talk.
But that's it, Rob. Them saying that, those same expressions over and over and over again, It tells me that they are going to do those things. That's why I'm not sitting here panicking, and that's why when they sign Patrick Sandoval, I can look at it as, okay, they're going to have a guy who's had an ERA in a full season under three before, a guy who's been a number two starter before for next year at a $9 million AAV for the luxury tax. That's separate from what else they're going to do this offseason. If they go out the rest of the offseason and don't do anything, I'm not going to be talking about Patrick Sandoval.
Let me ask you this. When you were... when the crochet thing happens, right?
Yeah, yep.
So you lose out on Soto, and everyone's freaking out.
That morning was freak out time.
Right. That morning was freak out time.
Because they lost out on Freed also.
So it was.
It was a dark time.
So, and then the crochet thing, let's see, that was Sunday night leading into Monday. What crochet was, when was that? Tuesday?
Crochet, I think, was...
Tuesday. It was Tuesday because... Freed happened. Freed happened. Everyone flips out again. Now everybody, I would imagine, on these airwaves are just like, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
Well, we had a lot of callers, just listeners saying, this is it for me. If they don't sign somebody, season tickets
canceled.
This
is a question that I have for you.
Yeah.
How much did the crochet trade change things? Or are people sort of digging in on this so much?
No, it definitely changed it. I think it has given them time. It bought them time to figure out something else over the next few months.
That's exactly the way I'd put it. It bought them a little bit of time because people were melting down online over when Freed was gone, Freed off the board, and now it's just one guy in Burns, and you don't necessarily hear a whole lot of, I guess, full throttle interest from the Red Sox.
Yeah, and
there's panic.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to sign Corbin Burns because I just don't think he wants to sign here. I think he wants to sign.
Why is that taking so long? Like, because pitchers, the run on pitchers at the winter meetings was something we haven't seen in a while. But yet the top guy, arguably, is still unsigned.
I think it's just playing.
He's playing the field.
Soto wanted to get signed, right? Soto said, I want to get signed here. This is what it's going to be. And with Burns, I think they're just playing this out. There was, he's as a Boris guy, right? Correct?
Mm-hmm.
As a Boris guy, you had Snell. You had Freed. Freed's not a Boris guy. But you had these guys. You spaced them out. And now you have Burns, and then you also have Bregman. But none of these guys are going to go like they did last year. That's one thing that we know. But unfortunately, this is how the offseason is. As long as you aren't sitting there in February, and I said this probably last year, and I'm probably too optimistic last year. As long as you're not sitting in February where we are right now, we're like, what are they going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And honestly, let's go to our the favorite day of the year, the Fenway Fest or whatever it is when they're making these guys wear shorts out in 20-degree weather signing autographs. But it would behoove them to do something before then.
Yes.
Right. And that's how it used to be, right? They used to do deals before season tickets went on sale and all that stuff. And I'm not saying that should drive the bus, but it would sure help perception. And one significant move along with the crochet thing, I think people should come away and say, okay, you're back with the big boys. Because if you don't, right now, for what they said, you're not back with the big boys.
The only thing that's helped is the division has not done a ton outside of the Yankees, but even nobody's sold, not everybody's sold on the old guys that they've brought in. But the Orioles seem to be going backwards, perceptionally.
Yeah, but they could sign Burns. They've already signed a couple guys. They signed our guy, Tyler O'Neill. The Toronto is ready to throw money everywhere. Like, Toronto's going to do something because they have to, right?
I don't know why they're not blowing it up.
Yeah, but they're not going to blow it up. Nope. They have too much money to blow it up. So, like, you have all this, but the fact of the matter is the Red Sox should understand that it is there to be had. That was the frustrating thing about Soto and Fried and it was frustrating last year. It was there to be had. The Yankees, as Joe Kelly had pointed out so articulately on the Baseball is a Boring Show, the Yankees were a tremendously flawed team. The American League was the Guardians made it to the ALCS. It was there to be had, and it continues to be there to be had with this really, really talented young core, but you got to do something else to put them over the top.
And you look at other teams taking steps back, like the Astros are about to enter a season, and we've been afraid of the Astros for years, but now minus Kyle Tucker, minus likely Alex Bregman.
And also, before we go again, like the other part about this is that, sure, you go by in attendance with Noah Kahn Knight and what's her name?
Shakira.
No,
she's coming this year.
Yeah, you get by on that, okay? Enough. Keep doing it.
That money helps. That's fine.
A celebratory jersey for every culture.
That's fine. But let's take a step toward, as the caller said before, putting barbed wire around the park and say, hey, you're not allowed in unless you pass the Wasabi Challenge test. Let's go.
All right, Rob, appreciate you filling in. It went fast. It was fun. Check out Rob at Baseball Isn't Boring on the socials. He'll be back Thursday with Fitzy, 6 to 10 a. Gordo all over socials. Boston Sports Gordo, we appreciate it, and the Playtesty podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Most every day. Thanks for coming in, Gordo. Good job, College Tom. Football next, NFL, Houston at Kansas City, followed by Pittsburgh at Baltimore, and then Tennessee, Ohio State, the nightcap tonight here on WEEI.